Good morning to one and all, and welcome to our morning worship time before the Lord at Fruitland this morning on the first day of September of 2024. I trust that all of you are doing well today. Hopefully you're enjoying and basking in the little break here during our Labor Day weekend. But hopefully today as well, it'll be a day to grow in Christ. And so I want to help to facilitate that if possible by the preaching of the Word. I'm preaching this at home into the microphone on mid-afternoon on Saturday. And so this is always going to be a little tough for me, as you know from years ago during COVID. I still like to have a live audience, but we'll do the best we can. And if you can put up with my shortcomings, hopefully there will be some blessing in this at least for us today. Again, I want to thank you for all your prayers, Kim and I both, for your prayers, the things you've done, acts of kindness, love, the way that you've helped us during this time of recovery. Kim has finished her therapy. She's back to work. She's still, you know, recovering, but I'm still homebound. And if any of you ever have questions about that, I'm pretty well healed up everywhere but my leg, and it has not healed, so I continue to covet your prayers. It's a situation, and there are some pictures if you wonder about that. Some of you have gotten those from me. Kim has those also today if you want to see them on her phone, but it may take some time yet, but we'll do the best we can, and I assure you that as soon as I'm able to get out and to be back in the saddle, I'll do that. But know this, that our home is open, and you can come out to see me if there's needs, or if you just want to stop by. I can't promise there'll be coffee on, but we can put some on. But anyway, until this changes, we'll have to continue as we are. Anyway, today, the title of our message is, Work is a four-letter word for the Christian's vocabulary. So is the word also, R-E-S-T, rest. So today we're going to be looking and exploring the subject of work as it's found in the scriptures, and also the subject of rest, because the two have a correlation. Again today I'm just going to have a short prayer, but I hope that you will be praying already this morning to prepare your hearts to give God glory and to worship Him, because that is what this is all about. And hopefully this will bring Him glory as we look into His word today. So I'll just have a very short pastoral prayer. Oh, one thing I do want to remind us of as well, and I don't know where the deacons are at on this, but it's very likely that we will have a quarterly business meeting next Sunday evening, as it usually is. The deacons may change that, but if that is the case, you'll need to turn in to the deacons items that you want to have done on that meeting, on the agenda, and so that's something to consider. Anyway, possibly today, if the deacons have decided to, you'll have communion as well this morning. So those are some things that you'll want to factor into your participation and how you approach those things before the Lord. So with that said, I'm going to pray and then we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for this day. Again, Lord, may you help all of us to consume and receive and process your word today as it's brought forth. And Lord, I do pray for people that are struggling and in need, both spiritually and physically. I do pray, Lord, that people would find joy in their lives and in their walk with you, and that there would be some rest and some renewal, Lord, on a Labor Day weekend. We thank you for the gift of labor. It really is, Lord. It's a miracle that we are able to be productive, that you have created us that way. And we thank you for that today, Lord. Now, again, I do know that there are needs. There are probably people that are missing today that have situations in their lives. I ask, Lord, that you come alongside them today. But the main thing today is that we would bring glory to you and that our hearts are prepared, Lord, to understand how awesome you are and to give you praise and worship because of that. Now, Lord, I really do pray you'll help me today. I need the Spirit to come alongside. It's just a little difficult for me yet to preach into a mic with no one here. But Father, I pray you'll use it and help a poor, weak fool, a sinner saved by grace like me, to bring this forth for your pleasure today, O Lord. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, I trust you will appreciate Labor Day and make the correct choices regarding labor and rest, both in the secular sense, but most importantly, in the spiritual component of our lives. The Bible uses three terms that have relevance to the title that we have today and to our own, and to our calling of God to be productive for Him. I won't go in any further on that word productive, but realize God has called us to accomplish something, and we are not here just to occupy space and time. Well, there's three things, then, regarding that I'd like to bring to you this morning. These definitions are not textbook definitions. They're my off-the-cuff definitions. But three words I'd like to look at this morning before we move into this message. The first is that four-letter word that is work. Work, in my opinion and my definition here that I'm using this morning, is productive enterprise toward accomplishments of a goal. Productive enterprise toward accomplishment or accomplishments of a goal. The second word this morning is the word labor. There is a difference between work and labor, but work can also be labor, and you may want to think that through. But labor is all in and all out. So everything, struggle struggle to reach a goal. So it's all in and all out strivance to reach a goal. I misstated that. I didn't read my notes here correctly. And the third four-letter word this morning, I know that only two or four letters, the other one's a five, but rest. Here's the definition I have for that. Rest is temporary reprieve from work or labor, in a sense, in the temporary side. And it also has a permanent component that when a task is completed, we sit down with that task done or accomplished. But it also has another meaning that we'll look at in the scriptures today. And that is the repose or the resting place of the believer in heaven. And what I'm talking about there is the fixed, unmovable base that is permanent. It will never be moved again. We're fixed, and we will have permanent rest in heaven. I'll talk about that a little more here later on. So, that's the three things I'd like to define this morning. So now to the first point of the message. And that is this: God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are workers. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are workers. And in case you want to check that out, I'm going to be talking both about the Father and Son specifically today, but there are also many references to the Holy Spirit, and I'll just give you one, where in John 16, verse 8, it also talks, and there's several places, that the Holy Spirit works. So the point of this is God and the Godhead are workers. God is not lazy. God is productive, all right? And we want to get that thought across this morning. But God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are workers of the work or the product of God's desired accomplishment. And so the question I have for us is, are you and I? And that's the real thing to think about today as we look into this message. Are you and I working for God? Are we laboring for God? And I'll just say this, if you're not, why do you get a pass? If God the Father and the Holy Spirit all work, why do we think that we get a pass and don't need to do anything? Well, I think you'll see today we don't have a pass. And if you're running on a pass today and thinking you don't have to do anything, you're wrong. God wants things accomplished by us. So here's a principle that I want us to look at here, a couple of principles. Number one, we should never try to avoid secular or spiritual work. We should never try to avoid secular or spiritual work. And I said it before, but God never endorses laziness. And you'll have to determine what laziness is, but laziness, I think, is a refusal to do work because you don't want to do it. My dad always had a saying, you've heard this before a few times from me, and again, let me classify that. God never wants us to not do work that is necessary. He doesn't want us to do busy work, okay? Things that are just there for the sake of looking busy or that don't have an accomplished goal is the point of it. But he wants us to be busy and working with things that are necessary that he's told us to do. Now to my dad, his old saying, you'll work harder to avoid work than doing the work. I think he had that right. I've used that many times. So now we're going to discuss the first passage this morning about work. And let's go to John chapter 9 together. We're going to be looking specifically at verses 1 through 5 of John chapter 9, the fourth gospel of John. And so let's go through this passage here really quickly. And this is the time when Jesus healed a blind man. And let's see now what he has to say here about work. Verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, there was a little mistake here, and this is not the point of the message, that people think that conditions that we have physically sometimes are the result of sin, and sometimes they can be. And in the grand scheme of things, this man's blindness was a result of the broken world that we live, of the curse, the sin curse that man brought upon us. But Jesus is going to explain here, no, this man was allowed by God to have these difficulties to show the power of God in his healing. Or we could insert the term here this morning, the works of God. So verse 3, and Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the, and here it is, underline this in your scriptures this morning, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God works, and he does works, and he does good works for us. Now, Jesus goes on with this. He's talking about God the Father here specifically, but also the Godhead that I illustrated just a few minutes ago. And Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So Jesus is illustrating here that he was called to be responsible to God the Father to do the things, the works that God had set him to do. And so again, this all lines up with what we've talked about this morning. And then Jesus says, I must work while it is day. He's talking here not only literally about the fact that work should be done in the daytime, and this would be classified even better as a few generations back when there was no electricity. You either had to have lamps or candlelight, things like that, to have light when it was dark. But, you know, light was a valuable time. And that's why people were up early, because they wanted to use every bit of light that they could get and be done when it was done and get everything they could accomplished. And Jesus says, I want to get this done because, you see, when darkness comes, we cannot work. And so, again, most people, if you work during the daylight hours, you'll need the opposite time of that of night for rest. And we'll come back to that later. But they have a correlation, work and rest. And then Jesus concludes here. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so Jesus was there to bring that light. He's called on us to reflect his light now that he is gone out of the world, but he is still the light of the world. So here's the point that I want us to get from this. Christians have work to do as long as light shines. Light and darkness have less impact than have less of an impact today than they did when there was no electricity. So the point that Jesus was making here is, when the light is shining, we need to be diligent, because it's urgent not to waste time, not to waste the light to accomplish the things that God has set forth for us to do. So the principle as we finish this first passage here is simply this: get busy while his light still shines and your life still continues to reflect that light. There is a laziness problem, folks. I believe this with all my heart, and most of us today. I'll admit, in my own life, I could say, you know what, I'd like to just take a pass. And, you know, that's very tempting, and a lot of people do. Some people camouflage their laziness with excuses. Oh, I'm so sick. You know, I've used that before, where someone had told me, I won't make it to church today, Pastor, but within a half hour after church was out, I saw him at Maynard's in the store. So, you know, there is still miraculous healing sometimes, but you understand and I understand there's a lot of things that go on that we do because we're lazy. It's very simple. People under the sin curse don't want to work because it's hard on us. It makes us sweat. It makes us hurt. It makes us tired, so on and so forth. But folks, we as Christians need to think that over very carefully today. We better think it over, because I want to warn us, there is no retirement plan for the Christian on this side of eternity. We've got stuff to do, and that includes all of us in this room. Point two this morning: God expects, he also recognizes and remembers work and labor done in love that you do. God expects, he recognizes and remembers work and labor done in love that you and I do. Two verses I want to give you quickly this morning on this, and there are many more, But the first thing I'd like us to do is turn to the book of Hebrews, and you'll want to keep a thumb there, or a finger. Hebrews chapter 6 here, and two verses that I'd like to bring to you this morning as we go through this. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And the writer of Hebrews here is talking about our maturity, the believer's maturity, but he writes the following. Verse 9, "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you." In other words, he's addressing the immaturity in God's people. And I've kind of talked about that in the first point there at the end. We have a desire not to do things that we should be doing, okay, for the Lord. And other secular things as well. But he says, "Beloved, we," the writer, "are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." So in other words, when we've been saved not through our works, according to Ephesians 2 and 9, 8 and 9, but we've been saved through the work of God. Salvation is a work of God done in our lives. Verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your," and here's the two words this morning of our message, "your work and labor," and as I classified that earlier, "of love, with the right motives, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So there's a real good text there to look at. God expects us to work, and he recognizes and remembers when we do things for him with the right spirit, in love, and of our heart. Second verse I'd like us to look at briefly, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So we'll go back a few chapters here, 1 Corinthians 15:58. One of my favorite verses when I get a little bit down about things. And here's what this verse says from the hand of the Apostle Paul. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," now when you see a therefore, you need to back up and see what was there before. And Paul is illustrating in 1 Corinthians 15, which is the resurrection passage, and the hope that we have as Christians in the resurrected Lord of new life. So he writes, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," take a little time off once in a while. Just do what you feel like. No, that's not what he says. He says, "Be ye steadfast," meaning on target all the time, faithful, ready, diligent to do what the Lord has asked us to do, unmovable, not changing in the accomplishment of the goal, keeping the goal in front of us. And then he says, "always abounding." And that is two E's that you could write there if you have a little margin space. Always abounding means energetic and eager for God's work. Can all of us say that this morning? I think we can come clean right now and say we are not that way always. But that's what God expects of us. And what Paul said will make a difference that the Lord will recognize. And he goes on saying, always be eager and energetic in the work of the Lord. There it is. "For as much as you know that your labor," that's the hard striving, "is not a waste of time. It is not in vain in the Lord." There's a key verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58, that basically just says this to believers. Keeping on has value with God. Work and labor are both required and necessary to serve God in a way that pleases him. All right, now to point three. Point three is this. When work and labor are present, so will be rest. When work and labor are present, so will be rest. Now, I think that's fairly obvious because when we go, in the case of things that we do, and I'm thinking here to heavy physical work that I've done quite a bit of. Sometime I'd like to tell you all the things I've done. Shoveling out bins on a hot day like we've had this last week. No one to help. An auger with a sweep end on it going through a door that is 3x3 on the bottom of a bin. Out on a job alone like that. Can't see the truck without getting down by the auger. By the way, people don't do things like that anymore. And it's a miracle, as accident prone as I am, that I survived all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, folks, main reason you went out there every day is because you knew you'd be able to quit sometime that night and come in to where it was cool and get cleaned up. And, of course, you had little breaks when you hauled the loads to town. But, folks, work and labor are both Where they're both present, there will also be rest, because we couldn't accomplish what we need to without rest. Now, quickly, let's go back to Genesis 2:2. And again, this is another confirmation that God worked. Genesis 2:2, I'm almost there. You may be beating me today on that. I'm a little slow, but Genesis 2:2 says, and I'm still in chapter 1 there, so I got to get to 2. It says, and on the seventh day, God ended his, and here's the word, work, which he had made. He accomplished the goal that was set out, and that was the creation week, the 6 days of creation. And then it says, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Now, folks, let's understand this today. God really was not tired. He didn't need to rest because he was tired, because God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. He's all knowing. He omnipotent is all powerful. Omniscience is he is all knowing. These are attributes of God. God doesn't sleep. The Bible tells us that in other places. He doesn't need to sleep because he isn't like the human body that's been under the curse, where we get tired. We need re-energized every day. But what this word rest means in Genesis 2:2 is simply that when God finished the task that he had set out, he took a time of a cease and desist time where he stopped working for a little bit. Not again because he was tired, but what he did that for was for our benefit. He set the pattern here once again with that seventh day for man to take a rest from his work and labor, but he didn't just set it aside for man to just sit down and lay in the hammock that day. He set that day aside as a vivid reminder of the creation week, and how God worked 6 days to create the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and the handiwork of the stars and the skies and the galaxies and so forth. But what he was showing is, and hoping again that man would do, is say, hey, this day of rest came from God because he rested, and we need to recognize him. Folks, that's important. And that's why every seventh day, man should do that. It's a reminder of God's creative work and his holiness keeps him in our minds. He wasn't tired. He didn't do it because he was tired, but it set the pattern for man to remember him on Sabbath as a day of rest as the creator. And also, it reminds us of a Sabbath rest that's available for the believer when we enter in by faith into Jesus Christ. And I'll talk about this more later. We enter into the rest of God, into that Sabbath rest. So these are all reminders. But you know this already. Man needs to rest temporarily from his work and labor of any kind. In other words, it goes back to those definitions again. When we've accomplished a goal of a certain thing, we may not have accomplished the end goal, but if we put 5 or 6 days of work into something, then we take that rest temporarily of what we have accomplished, and we go back at it again. But it's set up for man, and that means again to cease and desist. There are several forms of rest, and we'll define those as we go through them today, and it causes us again to focus on the rest of God. So now let's go back two chapters to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 1. This is a chapter that talks very much again about rest and work, and hopefully we can define this a little bit. And it will help us better understand what the scriptures say here and how, again, we are addressed by it. So let's begin this morning with Hebrews 4:1 to begin and define some of these terms. And we find this from the writer of Hebrews. He says, let us therefore fear or respect or take heed to this, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any should seem to come short of it. So now what he's talking about here, and we'll get to the Greek word that's used, he's saying we better set up and take notice about this word rest and what God means by that in this passage. Well, folks, the Greek word in this passage that's used several times, and I'll illustrate that to you today, is the word kataposis. That's the word for rest here in verse 1. And what that means, again, is to cease and desist, to sit down when a task is accomplished. And again, accomplishment of a task begs a rest. And I think we can all identify with that. If you were thinking about the goal maybe yesterday of mowing the grass, and you said, I'm going to go out there and mow. I'm thinking about the push mowing because that I never thought that was a lot of fun, but it's doable. But if you've mowed your yard on a hot day, and thank the Lord it's not as hot in the last couple of days, you know that when you're finished with that, you'd like to sit down and take a break because the goal, at least intermediately, has been accomplished of finishing that lawn. So that's what God's talking about there. He says, be careful how you handle this because we need to be sure that we don't miss the rest of God. In this case, kataposis, which means the time to sit down and to cease and desist from our work temporarily when a task is accomplished. And God's people should not miss that. That's what he said. Now, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. What the writer here of Hebrews, and we don't know for sure who that is, by the way. It could have been Paul, part of it. Could have been several different people that have been thought about it. But we know that it is holy writ. I mean, it was written as divine inspired word. But he says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Us is the New Testament Christian. Them is the Old Testament people. Israel, okay? But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. God told them things about himself. He asked and begged them to be in a personal walk with him by faith, to believe him, to trust him, and they said no. And what specifically this passage is about is when God had brought his people out of Egypt, out of bondage, he heard their cry, but once they got across the Red Sea, they were ready to what? To give up, didn't want to do anything anymore. And we're being warned here by the writer of Hebrews, we need to listen about this because they failed. Most of those people died. I'm telling you, folks, their souls will end up in hell. They're in Hades today at a place of punishment, but they are not saved because they did not respond again to God's work in them. They would not hear it. So the Israelites were delivered from bondage in Egypt, but they failed to accept God's will through faith. They missed the work, and thusly, if they missed the work, they also missed the rest of God. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into, and we have the English word there, rest. In verse 3, that's the same word as in the first verse, the kataposis. When we believe, the work of faith, again, that is brought into our hearts, but when we believe and accept what God has told us, we then can have rest because we can sit down and understand that God, on our journey with him, he's given us times when we can cease and desist. When certain things are met, when certain goals are accomplished, we have that, yet we have the assurance that we have not lost anything at all through him as well. So he's saying here, that all that was required by the Old Testament Christians and all that's required, or not Christians, but the Old Testament believers, was to have faith that God had done this work for them and to rest in that, to cease and desist from trying ourselves to accomplish something to get to God. Okay, that's the point of all this. God did the work for us, and that's the case yet today. All we must do is what? Trust that he did it. Trust that he did it. That's how we are able to have rest. Now, let's go on with this, verse 4. Well, did I finish this? I didn't. He says there, after that word rest, as he said in verse 3, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, and that's the same, the kataposis, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So he says there, now I have anger against these people because they, again, rejected by faith the works that I have done for them. Consider that a little bit. Now, verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now, that word rest there in verse 4 talks about what I took you back to in Genesis 2:2. It's that word kataposis. In this case, in the Greek, it's katapa'au, but a little different form of it, but the fact of the matter is God took a break there, not because he was tired, but he had accomplished what he'd set to do and set the pattern again for the seventh day, remembering God and ceasing and desisting from what we are doing. So Israel failed to find that rest in him, which he had called for as a reminder on the seventh or Sabbath day. Now that brings us to verse 5. And we find the following. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Okay. And what we find there is, again, the word kataposis. If they will cease and desist through him through faith, is what the writer here of Hebrews is saying. Verse 6 then comes after that. And 7, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not, that's the Old Testament people, the bulk of them, the people out of Egypt, because of unbelief, lack of faith. Verse 7, again, and that's not me saying again as a bad speech habit, but this is the writer of Hebrews, he's reinforcing this once again. He says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This same call goes out to us yet today, folks. And what it amounts to here is that some people in the early times there, and the time out of Egypt, a few did come to him by faith. But folks, we are still in that position today. God told David, don't harden your hearts. Receive him by faith today. Okay, so that you will be able to enter into this kataposis, the idea that even though the work is not totally accomplished, as goals are reached through these things, you can have rest that reminds us, again, of God the Father's pattern. We can still have that today, that same kataposis. Now, I've got to turn one page here, and we are on the last page. Hopefully, you're getting this all right, but let's read verse 8. Which says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. And that's an implication there. That other day is the rest of heaven. And we're going to get to that here in just a moment. So the rest that we have in kataposis, temporarily being able to set aside the task and to cease and desist, again, in our walk with God, that is not the rest that's being talked about here. He is talking in this verse, verse 8, to the ultimate rest, which is heaven for the believer. Now, let's look at verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, I want you to mark this in your margins as well. This is the Greek word that's English translated in English, sabbatimus. I'll get that right yet. Sabbatimus, and of course, Sabbath is in that word. But this is the word that is the rest of heaven for the believer. Okay? Sabbatimos. That's the Greek. And what this is, this rest, is the repose of the Christian. It's heaven. Now, I don't know if Woody's there today or some others of you, but I know Woody's worked around machine tools. And so I'm going to use this illustration. If you set up a new lathe, for instance, or a machine that does precise milling, you have to have that machine in a perfectly level, perfectly positioned place that is fixed, that cannot be moved. In other words, you can't have a lathe that rocks around. It's got to be firmly anchored into the concrete, and no part of that can be moved. Otherwise, the products that you're going to work and produce with that lathe are going to be defective. Now, I think Woody could explain that better than me this morning. But that's where we get these words that we use, like with machine tools, of a fixture. A fixture is a fixed reference that cannot be moved. It's like a benchmark for some of you that are in construction or builders here today. It's a point of reference that never changes. It's what everything else works from. Folks, sabbatimos is that very thing in heaven. It's a fixed repose for the believer. Now, you and I are all doing things differently today. We have a lot on our plates, but folks, we know this. When we enter into God's presence in heaven, in our eternal home, and my prayer is everyone today is going there that's hearing this today. Folks, we will never again have to be challenged about things. This is when we will be done. The work of heaven will not be work if we're called to do work. It'll be in an untainted environment by sin. It'll be all a privilege and a blessing. We'll never have to go through this struggle that we've been talking about this morning of work and labor, okay? Because heaven is sabbatimos. It's that perfect rest. It's an unmovable fixture when we will no longer be buffeted by those things that go on in the time that we live in our finiteness of time. So that's the key this morning. Do you have that kind of rest in your life? Well, let's close this out. Verse 10 says this, but remember 9, there is a rest, the writer says, to the people of God. Praise God. Praise God. It's the repose of the Christian. It's heaven where they'll never be moved again. Verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, that's the kataposa again, kataposis, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. So in other words, that cease and desist thing, we are no longer working our way to anything. We are resting like God did there after the creation of the world as a reminder once again, and to have a break after a goal has been accomplished before we move on. So I want to say that as well, too. Rest is important. You know, the cataposis, is important, and that we do need rest sometimes from our labors. And in a pattern, again, that goes along with a certain amount of goals completed, or the goal, in fact, completed, like with God and the creation work that he went through. So anyway, we will only be able to have that kind of rest on this side of eternity, but in essence, we can have a sit-down during the mission if we are in Christ's mission. Praise God for that. Now, the last verse this morning, verse 11, Hebrews chapter 4. The writer says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, folks, we cannot be saved by works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and many places in Scripture tell us. It's by God's grace through faith in him that I explained earlier. But what he's talking about here with this word labor, and it goes back to our first definition. What was that again? Let me look back to that. All in and all out strivance to reach a goal. The labor he's talking about there is the labor in the Word and in the work of the Lord. The labor in the Word and the work of the Lord. So he says, let us go at it with everything we have, all in and all out, therefore to enter into, and I have to turn the page here, that rest, okay? And that's found in 4:12. In 4:11, into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And what's implied here is the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. So there it is again. It's that word kataposis. The rest where even though we're on track on the mission for the Lord, we are able to take a break to be reminded of God as we're in the midst of that journey when certain goals are accomplished along the way. And so hopefully you've got that. But verse 11, let us labor all in, all out strivance to reach the goal, to kataposis, to sit down, to cease and desist, lest we miss it, like most of Israel, by a lack of faith. There is a rest to the people of God. There are times that we will need rest because God designed that in his pattern of how he calls us to work for him. But also because of the fact that we are in a broken world, a sin-cursed world, we're a fallen race, there are times we must take rest and refuge and take a break from our work and labors. Well, friends, I hope that if you've maybe penciled some of these in, this becomes much more clear to you. But here's the conclusion this morning. So, friends, in conclusion on this Labor Day weekend, how does this biblical account of work, labor, and rest stack up in your spiritual life and maybe your secular thinking about work? Something to ponder on, isn't it? Even our secular work, though, the Bible tells us, is the Lord's. And I go to Colossians 3, 23 through 24. You don't need to turn there, but just listen. But what we do to the Lord is we need to do things heartily as unto him, whether that's our secular or spiritual labors. And here's what it says. And so whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Folks, that's the goal on this Labor Day. What are you working for in your life? What am I working for in mine? I think that we know this, that we'll never be sorry for what we've done for the Lord. He wants it done. He's called us. He's told us, friends. And again, he's demonstrated his work in us, for us, on the cross of Calvary. I close with this today. Is your soul at peace in sabbatimos? Are you headed for heaven? Are you looking forward to that day when it'll be all done and we'll no longer get tired? In that sense, it's a fixed place of rest. We're done. Well, I can tell you, folks, I'm looking forward to that. It's the repose of the Christian. It's heaven. It's real rest of the definitions that we looked at. Remember this, that faith in the work of God through Christ will give you that peace today and save your soul from eternal hell. It's a great time, folks, to set a lot of things straight with the Lord regarding labor, work, and what was the third point again? Now I forgot. And rest, sure. And it's a great time, again, to give that some thought today, and not more than just thought, but take action. Do more than just thought. Take action. How this needs to be changed in your life. If you need the rest of heaven, today's the day to receive Jesus Christ, to call upon in the name of the Lord and be saved. Well, I'm going to stop there for now. If the deacons are going to have communion today, they'll want to come forward at this time and have that service. But remember, it's a good day to get things set straight in all ways with the Lord. Amen.